Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the At Bedges podcast. I'm Jordana.
And I'm Sammy. And there is kind of a lot to talk about. Lots of couples, lots of exciting news. How are you doing? What's up?
I'm pretty good. You've got like a very like ready to go energy, I have to say.
That is because I was just podcasting with Aileen for the past hour about her birth story on Back for Seconds, the Diet Starts Tomorrow subscription. So that is not coming out. That's not coming out next week. It's coming out the Monday after. And it was just a very, very great episode. We talked all about her birth story, about having two kids, the transition. It was just very, very, it was great. You know, I'm all warmed up from chatting.
I have not done any podcast today. So this is my first.
You sound lively.
I have had other meetings. Always great, lively atmosphere. Right. Oh, as always. But anyway, yeah, it's, you know what? You know what? Things are good. Today is in the 70s, mid 70s. It's going to be 80 degrees on Saturday.
Avi and I are going to play tennis, I think, if you want to join us, you know.
Well, we're going to like a special Halloween thing, are you not?
Oh, right. That is tonight. Well, I have therapy at 5, so I'm going to come after. But okay. Just like letting you know. Today's a big day because at midnight, 1989 Taylor's version comes out. And we are going to be back tomorrow on this podcast, not Jordana. It'll be me, Holly, and my friend Kate Kennedy, a.k.a. Be There in 5, who is a huge Swiftie, huge pop culture connoisseur. You've heard her on here before. We're going to review 1989 tomorrow. And it will be out tomorrow, I believe, afternoon. So get ready, betches, for that.
Okay. Amazing. Even though, as I've said,
there are 5 new songs. We don't need to hear about
1989
anymore.
Already came out. But no, it's exciting that it's coming out again.
There are new songs.
With a few new songs that I'm sure were very good if they didn't make the first cut. Anyway,
they were probably better, but she just wasn't allowed because they were like too edgy and not part of her image. Don't make me go into it right now.
For anyone who wants to get into it, Sammy, well, you can listen to Speak Now, Betch's version coming out tomorrow.
Yes. And we also, okay, the big talk of this week, which we're going to get into in a second, is the Britney Spears memoir. And we also have this is the perfect week for this to be coming out because Betch has just launched a new podcast with one of my favorite creators. Her name is Kiki Monique. You might know her by her handle on Instagram and TikTok, which is at The Talk of Shame. She does amazing pop culture analysis. She's so, so, so entertaining. So we just started a podcast with her called Pop Crime. And she read Britney Spears' memoir in under 24 hours and has her first episode came out today. So it is her show is basically going to be sort of about like revisiting pop culture, scandals, scams, all that jazz. And her episode is out today. So be sure to listen to it. It is Pop Crime with Kiki Monique. I am very excited to listen to it because I have not yet gotten to read the book, though we are going to summarize a bunch of things from it here. So Jordana, are you seeing this on your feed? Like what's going on?
Am I seeing Britney's memoir on my feed?
Like people talking about it.
I mean, I heard Sean talking about it right before this episode, so I learned a lot from him.
Not on your feed, though. Okay.
Okay. Well, what's the internet saying about... I'm not, like, on the feed that much. What is the internet saying about the book?
Well, I'm not either, but people have also, you know... It's an interesting... So, there's a lot in her book. She really spills all of it. Where should we begin? Do you want to go, like, chronologically? Do you want to go...
Yeah, let's start chronologically from you know, Britney's birth.
Britney's birth. Okay. Well, maybe we talk more broadly first because chronologically, I don't really want to start with when she lost her virginity, which is the first bullet point because I don't know. It's just not as interesting in context, but
I think it is kind of interesting because she was supposed to be like virginal and she wasn't, I guess.
Well, I think to me, having again, not read it, but having really like read a bunch of excerpts and things that are in it is that she wants to kind of set the record straight on all of the ways that the tabloids have exploited her, and, you know, kind of these like major turning points in her psyche, in her career, and just the way that like what was really going on behind the scenes compared to the way she was portrayed. And it's just, it's very interesting because this is a person who's like never had any agency over their own life and the way that it's presented. And this is kind of like her first time getting to put things in her own words and like reveal the truth, kind of.
Right. Seems like the book has a lot going on in it. So why don't we go through the major points that people are talking about?
Okay, so let's talk about her first, like her early relationship with Justin, because he's catching a lot of criticism from this, and it seems pretty warranted. So first thing is, obviously, like Justin and Brittany were like portrayed as this like virginal couple. She wasn't, you know, and it was a big deal when he revealed that she had had sex with him. But she says that she lost her virginity to her brother's best friend, who she was dating when she was in 9th grade and he was a senior. So it's not like it was even Justin who, you know, this was something that was her virginity was something that was like marketed, essentially. And then the other really, I guess, big thing with Justin is that she says that she got pregnant with his baby when they were too young. He didn't want to have a baby, but she would have. And she agreed to have an abortion, but she says that she wouldn't have done it if it were only her decision. And basically she says that they did the abortion at home and only told her assistant. They didn't go to a hospital or a doctor. I imagine that would have been like fodder and really, because again, people thought she was a virgin. Mm-hmm. So she says that she took the medication at home and was like having the abortion at home, and that Justin, while this was going on, just lay on the floor strumming his guitar while she was like crying in pain in the bathroom. And he just seems like such a fucking dick between this and like there's other shit. Yeah.
But I have always thought that Justin Timberlake was an asshole. Again, we've discussed this last week a little bit about, you know, the whole pressuring her to have an abortion thing, the NSYNC, you know, manipulative, like pretending they were going to get back together thing. And I remember personally, ever since I heard the story that at his wedding to Jessica Biel, he played exclusively his own music.
He did?
At the wedding. I think I heard or read this somewhere. This was many years ago.
He doesn't have enough songs for that.
Maybe he played like all of his songs.
That's still not enough songs.
As many as he could.
But I'm sure he repeated as well.
Right. He just seems like sort of like an egomaniac, like master manipulator to me. From everything I've read and seen about him. And I don't think his solo music is that good, personally. Even though a lot of people disagree with that thought.
He has some songs that I like, but no, Justin has never been like that attractive to me. I mean, his hair is like just not my vibe.
His vibe is not my vibe, I have to say. It's always like a little like frantically energetic.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of his character in No Strings Attached. I just hate slavery. Like, that is Justin Timberlake to me, actually.
Is it No Strings Attached?
Friends with Benefits?
Oh, yeah, you're right. It is No Strings Attached. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that movie he was annoying in. He was also really annoying.
Oh, Bad Teacher?
That was what I was thinking. Yeah. I feel like I think of him as the character that he played in Bad Teacher. Like, that's yes, who that's I think, I think of him say. In real life.
That's what I meant to say with the, I just hate slavery. Like, that's very Justin Timberlake to me. Also, she talks about her breakup with him. She says that he broke up with her over text, but then after he did that, he flew to Louisiana and presented her with a handwritten breakup letter that he framed. He framed his own breakup letter and then presented it to her as if it was a degree. And she still has it under her bed. So no one rob her, because that would definitely be worth a lot of money.
What did he want her to do with the letter?
I think that's an egomaniac thing. Like, I think that's like an actual psychotic egomaniac thing.
Like a handwritten letter?
Handwritten, framed.
Something about this story seems like it's missing. Like, the reason he would do it, what the motive for him behind it was. I feel like there's more to that story than he just framed a breakup letter. It doesn't make any sense that someone would do that.
Well, that could be him. You know, I think you were just saying he's an egomaniac. That sounds like something an egomaniac would do. Like, I am so important that, like, you need to memorialize your breakup with me. Maybe she was mad about the text, so he
Okay.
Did it
that
like,
makes more sense.
So he did it kind of obnoxiously.
Right.
Like, or well, he here, thought, let me fly here with a handwritten frame letter.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it does, to me, it does refute the claim that he broke up with her over a text, because if he did fly to Louisiana at some point in the breakup, he didn't really just break up with her over a text.
I don't think it's maybe to refute the claim as much as it's like maybe she was pissed about the fact that he had texted her. So he's like, well, fuck you. I'm going to fly here with this letter.
Right. But then I'm saying that's not really a breakup over a text then.
Well, he tried to break. Maybe he, the first attempt at the breakup was over text. And then, you know, people still talk after like the official.
Potentially. The maybe he initiated like the breakup. The breakup discussions over text and then flew there to flush them out.
Well, you know what I'm going to with the letter? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read the book and I'm going to find out. But there,
yes,
but
report back.
But OK, the thing is, like, there has to be truth to the existence of this letter, because I don't think Simon and Schuster would publish a statement, like would publish this as fact, if they didn't have evidence or if they couldn't obtain evidence of this letter existing. Like, I bet you she had to show it to them or someone. Because that just seems, imagine just being the one who reads this draft. Like, imagine.
I mean, like, imagine being the ghostwriter who listened to these stories and then wrote them down.
Around the office, we have so many colorful framed art prints and photos. It creates such a fun atmosphere, and it gives our space that unique Betches character. I wanted to frame some stuff at home too, but custom framing can be so difficult and so expensive. So the things I want to display end up collecting dust in a closet. But Framebridge makes it easy and affordable to get your special artwork and memories in frames, so you can spice up your space with ease. I love Framebridge. I framed my ketubah for my wedding. The process was unbelievably easy. They send you a canister to send in your artwork. They send you a few different options of ways that they can frame it. You get to pick. They're actually helping me also design the frame that works best with the picture and best for my home. And getting custom frames can be difficult. Framebridge is easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. You can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a retail store if you need some guidance. You can also upload a digital photo for them to print or mail your item in using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Then Framebridge custom frames your piece in the studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. For years, I've been using men's razors because the quality of razors for women is seriously questionable. But disposable men's razors feel like settling. I finally tried the Athena Club razor I've been seeing online, and it was truly the easiest, smoothest shave ever. My old razors, honestly, they would rust up so quickly, and the shave I would get was so dull. My legs would get super dry. It would just be like an uncomfortable razor experience. But this razor is truly worth the hype. If you haven't tried it, you really need to give it a shot. Step up your shaving game now with Athena Club's award-winning razor kit. It's seriously the best on the market, and here's why. First of all, the Athena Club razor kit is an absolute steal at just $10. But don't let the price fool you. This razor packs a serious punch. It comes with a beautifully made ergonomic handle and two super sharp razor heads that deliver an incredibly smooth shave every time. You also get a game-changing magnetic hook in the razor kit for easy storage. This means no sitting your razor on the edge of your tub, no more goopy blades, no more razor falling down your shower floor in the middle of the night. Athena Club's razor glides effortlessly thanks to those five precision-engineered blades. The blades are perfectly spaced out to let your hair pass through with each stroke, and you'll experience less irritation, which is always a win in my book. Are you ready to upgrade your shaving experience? Switch to the best razor on the market and show your skin you care with Athena Club. Head over to athenaclub.com to try their award-winning razor and body products and get 20% off your purchase with code BETCHES at checkout. You can also find Athena Club razors at your local Target store. Trust me, you won't look back. Happy shaving.
Brittany really went down. She describes how she really, like, how the breakup really, like, affected her psyche. And everything sort of started going downhill for her from there. And this was also like kind of coinciding with peak tabloid time, like 2006, 2007, where women were just like just destroyed for absolutely everything. So at this time, Brittany talks about, do you remember her interview with Diane Sawyer? And Diane kind of like blames her for her behavior and just like, it's kind of misogyny vibes. Do you remember that like happening or knowing about it?
I don't remember. If this wasn't brought up, I don't think I would remember it at all. I have like maybe very vague memories of it, but not really.
I feel the same, but I think I only remember it because of like the Britney Spears documentary. I feel like it was in that. Like I've seen clips of it since, not like I remember it happening then. So basically she heard that like right after, this was kind of like her breaking point. After Justin broke up with her, she heard that he slept with 6 or 7 girls in like the next week or two.
As is probably accurate, sounds accurate.
Yeah. She talks about one day she saw Colin Farrell and thought he was hot. So she drove to the set of his movie SWAT. And then they had like a very passionate but fraught love 2 weeks.
Hooked up. Sounds like, okay.
Yeah, she calls it a brawl and said they were like all over each other, but like fighting. It was just very, I don't know. Again, I'm gonna need to read the words that she used, but it just seems, she talks about the night she shaved her head. She said that was because Kevin Federline refused to let her see her sons. She also talks about getting married to Jason Alexander. We can go to that after. She said that Kevin would not let her see her sons the night that she shaved her head. So she did it as like a fuck you.
Interesting. I didn't remember like what the context of. I actually forgot that she shaved her head. I do remember that very famous tabloid.
And the umbrella?
Where she's like, yeah, something with the umbrella.
That was all part of like the same moment-ish. So she also explained her marriage to Jason Alexander by saying she was just very drunk, bored and drunk. And that's why she did that. So
feels accurate. I wouldn't have guessed there was another reason.
Yeah. I mean, I think she was just very much, no one was looking out for her. They all wanted her to just perform and get more money. And no one was, I just don't think anyone was looking out for her. And it was almost like they felt that if she acted more crazy, that she'd get more attention. And
they wanted her to act crazy?
Well, like her father forced, I mean, with this Diane Sawyer interview, she had just broken up with Justin and she's like heartbroken. And her dad, who was her manager, and like her other managers, like forced her to do it. And I just don't think anyone was really ever looking out for her. Cause also you look in like the documentary, there was, this was also in the book. She talks about like the time she like bombed at the Grammys, or I think it was the Grammys, and Justin like killed it. And she says, do you remember like that time she had like a really bad performance where she was like just very lethargic on stage? Okay, Holly says it was the VMAs. It might have been the VMAs. I don't remember what it was, but they both performed that night. Britney did really badly. Justin did like great. And she said that she did really badly because she had run into him backstage and she was like crying. And it just seems like this relationship really set her off course in a major way.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it was like that big of a deal for either of them. I thought it was like basically just like a press relationship, and that, you know, she seems to have dated a bunch of people since then. So I didn't realize that was such an important thing for her. So he's definitely the most famous person that she has ever dated.
He was also like her first love, kind, you know, like.
Is that what she says?
I don't know if she says that because I haven't read it, but like they were together a lot. She wanted to have their baby. She wanted them to like have a baby and raise it. So, and he right. did. I don't think this was a press relationship for right. her. Maybe it was for him, or maybe it was
for him.
Because she also, yeah. he cheated on her a bunch. She says like she heard a lot of rumors that he had cheated on her.
But she also said she cheated on him.
Right? Yes, she did say that. She cheated on him with Wade Robson, and she admitted it to him. And basically she said he cheated first, he cheated a lot. And then she did like once and he like flipped out, which also totally tracks.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm sure there's going to be a lot more coming out in this book. It sounds like she went there with all of it. So I wonder what Justin Timberlake is thinking.
He's thinking, damn, I got to get back on stage with Lance Bass. We got to fix this.
Recover that image.
Yeah. But also she says that the Free Britney movement like saved her, and that she wasn't okay. And that the fact that people were standing up for her and just like, you know, this makes me proud to have been an early Free Britneyer who pushed for it against all odds. And she basically said that, like, it means so much to her that people, like, noticed and, you know, took it on themselves to, like, make it public, and that she doesn't think she'd be, like, free without that.
And what is it? Did she talk about what it's like being, like, what the difference is for her?
I don't know. I've not read it. I'll find out. I don't think that, like, her behavior comes across as like particularly healthy now. But again, I don't think the issue was only about whether she needed help. It was about whether the people helping her were exploiting her.
Right. Well, who's helping her now?
I will find out when I read the book. But she definitely, she has.
That's my other, I mean, like my question. Well, yeah, it's, I mean, it's sort of like my question is like, who's helping her now and what is the difference?
Well, the difference now is she has personal agency.
I think there's a lot of focus. I think there's a lot of focus on like, you know, what her life was like before, but I don't think there's much clarity on what her life is like now. I know she obviously is getting divorced and she had, you know, she has other stuff going on now. So I personally am interested in like what has gone on since this, since she has been free.
Well, the thing is that like, unquote, it doesn't, my feeling is like, it doesn't even matter to me because it's her choice. Like she's free to fuck up her life all she wants in my view. But like the injustice of the conservatorship and the people who were paying themselves to make money off of her was.
Right. I mean, I think that to me, it's like a little bit less binary than that personally. It seems like there's more that goes into it, especially if she's dealing with perhaps a mental illness, which sometimes people do need help.
Right.
For.
But that's,
I'm not saying she should not be free, but I'm just wondering who is helping her with that at this moment.
I mean, I do not know the answer to that, but I mean, of course, I think she definitely needs some help, but I don't think that like she shouldn't have adult autonomy because there's lots of people who fuck up their lives like this all the time.
Again, I don't know what she's up to. I don't know what's going on now. So I don't know what the situation.
A lot of naked dancing on Instagram, which is not amazing.
I'm sure there's a lot more behind the scenes than the naked.
No, there is. There's a lot of stories about it. But again, I'm like, what stock do I put in these? And again, she's free to do whatever she wants. Illegal, legal, like that. To me, it's like, okay, she's no different than anybody else who's free to fuck up while not having to give all her money to her exploitative family and her lawyers. And I mean, there was a story that her mom is now like working like an hourly job because she can't afford her lifestyle. And it's like, well, why can you suddenly not afford your lifestyle? Just seems a little weird to me. Why now you need a job because you're the conservative show?
Of course, there's definitely a ton of financial exploitation that was happening there. But I'm just saying, I personally would like to hear more about what's going on now and what has changed for the entire family.
Same. I'm very curious about that.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years, and nothing has transformed my life quite as much as my therapy experience. And one of the things that I love about therapy is that it gives me all the tools I need to figure out how to manage my time, and also figuring out what depletes me, what gives me energy. Sometimes too much socializing depletes me, so I've learned how to manage the amount of time that I'm going out versus staying in, the amount of new people I'm meeting versus making sure I have that me time for myself, and that's definitely a skill that I've honed in therapy. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/betches today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/betches.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning, and that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable. And it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold-over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft, custom-milled Luna Luxe Bamboo Viscose, their Zip Footy Pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's LittleSleepies.com with promo code BETCHES.
Let's talk about Mauricio Umansky.
And Kyle. Did you watch the...
And Kyle. I didn't watch.
Okay. Yet. So I did watch. Do you care if I give a little bit of... It's like a spoiler-ish, but it's...
Yeah.
You know.
That's fine.
So spoilers in case anyone didn't watch last night's premiere. They go into Kyle and Mauricio. Like Kyle and Mauricio confront each other a little bit about... Not their marriage entirely, but kind of about their marriage. They show a scene of them together where they have to come up with their... They schedule a meeting to talk about their schedules going forward. Like, when are they going to go on vacation? When's he traveling here? Blah, blah, blah. Porsche's spring break, whatever. And in that conversation, he's like, he notices she has like a new tattoo. And he's like, another tattoo? And she's... He's like, no more, love bean, no more tattoos. And she's like, what are you going to tell me? You can't stop me. It's like, you didn't even notice. Like, you should be looking at my body more if you didn't notice I have all these tattoos. And she says something like, listen, I've been listening to everyone. I've been doing what everyone tells me to my whole life. Like my family, my sisters, my kids. And now like no one gets to tell me what to do, including you. And it gave me such an... Just to me, I'm like, that was the unlock to their whole thing. Like Kyle, I think Kyle's fight with Kathy at the end of last season was like a breaking point for her. And she's like, I am not living under my family's yoke anymore. And she probably was like, fuck Mauricio for cheating. And like, I imagine that maybe had something to do like behind the scenes. And she was just like, I think she's just like done with it. I think she's in like... A teenager, I think she's living out like a teenage rebellious phase right now. And he says that to her.
Okay.
She says it's not, but like it is. Like you can hear it in her voice, the way she's like talking. Right. She's basically like talking to her mother. Like, you can't stop me. I think you'll find it interesting when you watch it. It's the last scene.
Okay, I'll check it out. And apparently also, what's her name is on the rocks, Dorit and PK.
Yeah, a story broke during the episode last night that they had broken up. It was definitely interesting that that story about Dorit and PK came out during the episode because they were discussing on the episode the issues in their marriage. And yet they refuted that article saying, we're still together. It's been a difficult year, but we're not separated, which is literally what Kyle and Mauricio did a few months ago.
Did they copy the exact same statement? They said they were separated.
They just said
they were living together.
Right. I don't remember exactly, but like it's all just court.
I think they were like, we're like working on our marriage. It's been a few difficult years. We're separated, but we like still live together or something.
Yeah.
It was like,
it's interesting. I feel like Mauricio is like more interested in Kyle, like now that she's like trying to run away. Like he seems to care more about...
I don't know. His recent news about the Dancing with the Stars person, I don't think seems like he's chasing Kyle around.
Well, I'm thinking back. I'm thinking about the episode, like when the episode was okay. filmed. That's what it seemed like. But now I think they're more like comfortable in their separation and being apart. And what I think is actually very interesting about this first episode last night, and I have a feeling it's going to be kind of the vibe of the rest of the season. You know how the Beverly Hills Housewives, and I know this bothers you about them. Like, you know how they kind of all like hide their shit? Like they all like agree to hide their shit.
They pretend they have great families and all that
stuff. So I think this is the season where that's all going to
unravel.
Yeah. I think that it's the goodbye to Lisa Rinna. The way that things have happened, I think they can no longer cover their flaws anymore. And I think that this is the season where they're all going to be like revealed for the true messes that they are.
Great. I'm ready to see all of Kyle's dirty laundry.
I don't know how much.
Ready
we'll
to see. See it.
We'll see. But it's getting there. It's getting there. So what happened with Mauricio?
So he was spotted getting cozy with his Dancing with the Stars partner, Emma Slater. And their most recent update as of last night on Watch What Happens Live is Kyle Richards went on. And in response to the photos of Mauricio and Emma, she said, I was taken aback. Yes, that was weird to see. Yes, it hurt my feelings. Which leads me to believe that Mauricio is definitely sleeping with this woman. To me, it seems obvious. I predicted that months ago. I said he's definitely on Dancing with the Stars and he's definitely getting fucked. And this to me is a validation of that.
Yeah, of course.
Obviously not said explicitly, but inferred. She's our age, 34. And
so she's Farrah's age.
I guess so. Yeah. And Mauricio, they were holding hands. They were seen holding hands on Sunday. after they went to dinner in Beverly Hills and they were snapped sharing a laugh before their meal. Her ex-husband is also on Dancing with the Stars and they broke up last April, probably because she's been seeing Mauricio.
You think she's been seeing him since April? Maybe. I guess when did they?
I mean, well, how long have they been separated, Mauricio and whatever? I'm sure there's like...
I think they've been separated since like last year, Mauricio and Kyle. But when did he get chosen for Dancing with the Stars? Not until this summer.
I have no idea what the his...
I'm pretty sure because Ariana, like in April, Ariana was going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Who is watching Dancing with the Stars?
My mother-in-law.
It must be like that kind of thing because I just feel like I hear so much in the news.
It's the Bachelor audience.
About who's in Dancing with the Stars and who was selected and who was asked to be on Dancing with the Stars. And I'm like, I have never watched or wanted to watch an episode of Dancing with the Stars ever, but it seems to be this really popular show. Like, who is watching it? Everyone's mother-in-law?
Boomers.
Everyone's mother-in-law is watching Dancing with the Stars.
Yes. If you are a mother-in-law, you are required to watch Dancing with the Stars. I think it's like the Bachelor audience. I think it's like...
But I watched The Bachelor and I've never watched Dancing with the Stars.
I think it's like the people who stayed with The Bachelor.
Like, you know,
it's that. I think it's like CSI, NCIS. Like, I think it's like older people. Like, I don't know. I don't think it's a very coastal show.
Okay.
Although they do use like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Actually,
this
it must
is me
be
guessing.
Very well. It's been on forever and people... get very excited
I mean,
when they're
it's
asked.
Kind of a good show.
But when people are asked to be on Dancing with the Stars, I feel like they are very excited. So there must be some huge audience.
Well, there is a huge audience. I also think it's like kind of cool. I think it's a little bit validating that you've like made it out of your wherever you came from to go on Dancing with the Stars. I also think like what the clips from I don't watch it
like
either.
Ariana's on Dancing with the Stars, right?
Yeah, but I've seen these clips and I'm like, oh, they're good. Like, this is kind of cool. I think it's also just a very, like, inoffensive show. Like, you don't need to have an amazing voice and go on, like, American Idol. You're not going to get, like, insulted. It's not like, it's really just kind of like the dancing is the,
with the stars.
Core of it. With the stars is the core of it. And I think that's very pleasant and non-problematic. Although I feel like there have been scandals, whatever. Just overall, like, it could be non-problematic. And just easy watching, easy right. viewing.
It seems to me like a good place to go to hook up with someone that's your Dancing with the Stars partner.
Yes, it does seem like that if you want right. to do that.
Holly says that she gets nervous when the Bachelor people go on because they always split up after it.
Right. It's like where you go to break up. It's like, I don't know. It's okay. Fair enough. Yeah, no.
Like, why is Mauricio on it?
Because he wants to promote buying Beverly Hills. He's just a...
Why was he asked to be on it?
Because he's like a name. He's a name. Okay. I definitely think he's enough of a name that like his... and I think people think of him as like hot. Or they like used to.
Well here's my other question. What is the like star range for being on Dancing with the Stars? Because clearly
not
like
that
A-list
high.
Like A-list celebrities are not going on Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
Right.
You don't have but to like, be like...
So you have to be good enough, but not too famous.
I think it's like... solid C to D list is where you're getting the Dancing with the Stars
okay
people.
So like who's the most famous person that's been on Dancing with the Stars? I'm trying to think
who is the most famous person. I don't watch
Kim
it
Kardashian.
I don't know. Has she been on it?
Kim Kardashian says Holly says before she was famous.
Oh okay.
Sex tape.
Oh I would love
Dancing
to watch that. Okay who knew it's been wow. on so long.
Okay so I kind of it's mostly reality stars it seems like. Are there serious actors on there?
I don't think so, but there was, I think Rick Perry, the former Secretary of Energy, was on it. Am I wrong, Holly? Please check.
The former Secretary
yes. of Energy? Yes. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was on Dancing
I'm
with
Google
the Stars.
Google most famous person on Dancing
definitely
going to
be Kim Kardashian.
Sean Johnson.
Yeah, Rick Perry.
Bindi
oh, he
Irwin.
Was- yeah. Yeah, he was the former governor of Texas and Donald Trump's Secretary of Energy, Rick Perry. And he was on his... Wait, you're going to die. His partner was Emma Slater.
No way. Yeah. How many years has she been on the show?
I think she's like... Because look, you can't just throw in Rick Perry and Mauricio Umansky and think that's going to be a good pair. You need to have a real dancer. They put the right. real dancers with the stars. Stars.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why... Maybe she's a good person to get paired with because honestly, I felt Mauricio and his performance was a bit stiff. It was a little bit not sexy in my view, but whatever.
Well,
either way, Kyle.
He's been working out, as you know.
Either way, Kyle to me is very transparently, like, I didn't think she was doing this to make Mauricio jealous, but there is a part of me that now feels that she is doing this to get his, like, to get him to pay attention to her again.
I could see that.
Because she literally says, she's like, well, maybe you should be looking at my body more. It's like, well,
if you're not attracted to him, then you don't care. Right. So all of Mauricio's, like, fame has kind of been via being Kyle's husband. But now he has this Buying Beverly Hills show, which maybe went to his head a little bit.
It's not even that popular.
Not that it's so popular, but he's now, like, the star of the show. And I'm sure there's, like, just like when you get a large Instagram following, I'm sure the cameras being, like, this is your show. He's the EP. He's, like, you know, like, the Lisa Vanderpump of the Vanderpump Rules, like, of this show. He's, like, the head guy. I'm sure there's, like, a little thing about his ego. It was like before he was just making the money and now he's also the star.
Right.
And I think maybe that got to his head a little bit and maybe he was not a little bit less interested in Kyle from that potentially.
I think he's kind of been cheating for a while, like since season 4 at least and the tabloids. Like, it's not just that he got his own show. He also got way, way, way more wealthy in the past like 5 years. And I think that it's like that opened up a new level for them where they could like fly private and upgrade their house in Aspen to like an insane home. And it's like that is another level of like freedom. And I also think it made them like because also she started working more. She started doing more like acting and stuff. And I think that that probably also like made more physical distance that like because they for all the ways people said they were like, or you and others have thought like, oh, they're faking their happiness. Like, I actually don't think they were like fully faking their happiness. I think they were playing up their happiness and hiding their moments and streaks of unhappiness. But I actually do feel that there is like a lot of love and partnership between them and their family is really, really close, even though they're maybe not as functional as they want us to think. And it just makes me think like, their distance from their mutual success that was kind of separate made it untenable for him to kind of like keep stepping out and her not and her just like keep being devoted to the kids. Because also pretty much all the kids are now adults except for Portia, who they're like, get out of the house, clearly. Like
right.
The kids are adults. Like they're not this like they're not all coming home for every night and like it's just they're less bound and they're wealthier. And I just think like they became like less in love than they really were.
Do you think they'll get back together?
I don't know. But I feel that I don't know how I feel about getting back together as much as like I just don't see them divorcing. I just see it being too expensive. And why would they need to again?
There's no reason unless they want to get married again, which maybe they will. I mean, they're young. Could get married again.
Well, they would have
see Mauricio marrying a 34-year-old.
Right, but like
not be surprised.
But I think he likes his long-term marriage and like I think he likes their family. Like I think that is what bonds them together. Like they love the family more than I think for they now. Love each other even.
But yeah, but the kids are growing. Like you said, the kids are kind of like that like the family thing that they had, which was like raising these kids together is sort of like they love the family, but the kids are now like going to make their own families, like they're adults. So maybe that whole family thing really only keeps you together for as long as the kids are in the house.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, it's also different because it's not just that the kids left the house, like their lives totally changed as the kids were leaving the house.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like if the thing keeping them together is the family.
No, but I'm saying it's not just the family. And then there was like no new additions, like the new money and the new career advancement. Like it gave them another thing to grab onto that like made the family less like they didn't have to miss the family as much because they have other stuff now. Yeah. I'm really excited for the episode where it's in the preview where Morgan's like, someone asked, like, how did you meet? And Morgan's like, she stalked me. And I want to hear the rest of that. Like, was she kidding? Did she really stalk her? Why did Kyle stalk Morgan Wade of everyone?
I wonder what's going on with that. I'm interested to hear more about that relationship. Anything else going on with any of the other ladies?
Yeah. Sutton drops that the in an interview that the only rumor she's ever heard about Dorit and PK's marriage is that the night that PK got his DUI, that he there was a woman in the car who was not Dorit.
Ooh.
And Sutton
when
just.
When did he get a DUI again?
I want to say it was like 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
Or even like last.
There was a woman in the car.
There was a woman in the car. And then Teddy. And Teddy was on Watch What Happens Live with Kyle. And Teddy. Why? I don't know. Maybe Kyle was like, I'm OG and I'm only coming on with my bestie friend and I need my protector, my little yapper dog. And yeah. And so basically what Teddy said on Watch What Happens Live in response to Sutton saying that about Dorit and PK was like, well, Sutton always has alcohol in her handbag and Dorit and PK are fine. Right.
Okay. I believe that. That's not even that scandalous to me.
It's not that it's that scandalous. It's that she just, like, she clearly just was, like, doing it to get back at her.
Okay.
Teddy, like.
Right, yeah.
She's like, oh, well,
Teddy has nothing to lose. She's not on the show. She doesn't have to confront anyone.
Exactly. That's why it's, like, fucked up. It's like, so you're just gonna, that's what I mean. She's like her attack dog. She's like, oh, Sutton.
Right. It's
like,
not even, to me, it's not even that good of an attack. It's like, oh, so
she's calling her an alcoholic.
Okay.
That's fucked up.
Like. They're all fucking alcoholics, except for Kyle who's on Ozempic.
No, I actually think Kyle was. I actually think Kyle maybe was not on Ozempic, and she just got really into working out because of Morgan, and she stopped drinking. She talks about how the Kathy thing made a real change in her. Like she needed a real change, and I think she got into working out partially because she and Morgan have the same trainer, and I don't know if that was preceding it or after. We'll find out. And she stopped drinking, and like I do, it's not like. And that actually coincided with the Ozempic craze. But I do believe that the amount of changes she made in her life actually makes it seem like it wasn't just Ozempic. Like she does a lot of things differently. She lives very differently than she lived before. And
but don't you live very differently when you're on Ozempic? Like you have to, you like work out, want to work out and you want to drink less?
You might, but it's not the same as like she had a whole paradigm shift with like this woman and her... I just don't think that that was what it like in her case. I'm not saying she's definitely not on Ozempic, but I think that if of all the people, she's like one of the few people who actually has a reason that she would have drastically lost weight in that period of time that was not just getting a new injection. Hmm. Like she had so many changes that it kind of makes sense.
I guess it's I guess we'll never really know.
Well, yeah. But my point about Teddy is that like it was fucked up that she was implying that Sutton is an alcoholic. That was literally what Kyle did to Kim. And it's fucked up that she did that.
Right. I mean, Kim was an alcoholic, but.
Right. But like.
Still, it's fucked up.
Kyle
your sister,
regrets but. Having said that to her sister. Yeah. And Teddy did this on purpose just to be like as a fuck you.
Well, is she friends with Dorit?
Teddy and Dorit are friends, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like that would be revenge on her for saying that against Dorit. So you would think she'd be like very close with Dorit if she felt the need to say that.
I just think Teddy.
In defense of her.
Teddy's like always climbing up to Kyle, Dorit, Tamara. Like, Teddy, that's Teddy. I'm Teddy. Hi.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's. And enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know who else made an announcement this week that they have been separated for 6 years? Very, very sad. What is this trend that people are like revealing they've been separated after 6 years? And that is my favorite person ever, Meryl Streep, and her husband of like 45 years, Don Gummer. They said that they've been separated for more than 6 years, but they've been living apart and they still care for each other.
I didn't even know who Meryl Streep was married to. Did you?
Of course, Don Gummer. Oh.
What is he? Who is he?
He's like just a regular guy. He's not an actor.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that's why I didn't know she was you could have told me she was already divorced and I wouldn't have known that.
Really?
I feel like she's pretty private. Like, I don't hear anything about her private.
Oh, he's a sculptor. He's a sculptor. That's what he is. I remember.
Interesting.
I forgot about that. But he's not like, you know, my point is he's not a high profile figure.
Right.
And they've been married since she was like really young. To me, this doesn't seem like.
Why are they announcing this now?
I don't know. Maybe it's because of Will Smith. Maybe it's Will Smith and Jada. They're like, oh, maybe we should just be, maybe one Tell of them everyone? Wants to date or has someone new that in the might picture. Be it. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe someone wants to get married
or just like be publicly dating someone else and it not be weird.
Right. Yeah, that's why you got to make the announcement.
To me, this seems like...
kind of like Mauricio and his girlfriend.
Yeah, except Mauricio and Kyle seems way less... like, it seems way more fraught than, like, two 70-year-olds who are like, we've lived a long life together, where it's right. kind of run its course.
Well, they could also just be like, we're friends. I don't really give a shit anymore. Like,
that's kind of what I think this is, because yeah. they said they're like, we're living apart, still care for each other. They have 4 kids... Yeah. And so it's like, I feel like at that age, it's like, what is the, you know,
74 and 76.
How much are you really fighting at that age that you're like, we're going right. to get a contentious divorce right now?
They're going to be 80 in 4 and 6 years.
Right.
So it's
also,
I get it.
I also think probably some of it is the money. It's like, why do you want to split? Why do you want to pay to split your finances when you could just kind of like, be between homes and it's fine.
How much do you think Don is making as a sculptor?
I don't know how much he's making now, but I'm sure he's made like, I don't know how popular of a sculptor he is, but I imagine being Meryl Streep's husband, he probably has made makes a few million popular. From sculpting.
I would guess that would help sell the sculptures.
Yeah, but I also just think like, you know, art is subjective. It's whatever the market will bear. Let's see.
Donald I want to look up. I want to see what his sculptures look like.
He's a,
you know, they're not my style, but they're quite large.
Right. Which makes them more expensive.
I don't think they're like that attractive, but
he likes, I mean, I think they're very, they look like something that you would see in like a park.
He has one at Indiana University campus.
Yeah. Honestly. Oh, this one's cool. Should we get one? Kidding. No. Look,
it's this, okay.
Let's see what. Okay, look, one is available for $100,000 on Artsy. So I'm sure this guy has
so
made.
He's probably making good amount.
Oh yeah, they go for like between 5 and 6 figures. So I think he. Oh, there's. Oh, that's
how much
a
do
cool
they cost to make?
One. I can't imagine.
He makes, like,
he makes a lot
of sculptures for colleges.
Yeah. No, these are like. This isn't like a little sculpture. Like, oh, I'm doing a little clay pottery. This is like
right.
these are
he's
figures.
Not a ghost.
No, these are figures. These are like you need to have skill.
They're for like it seems like they're like for corporation. They're for like colleges or like buildings.
Or
they're not for like people's homes.
Or like really. A park. Right. Who
right.
You would put this maybe in your backyard if you were very wealthy.
I have to say though, not my style, but
a little bit hard edge. But look, my point is he's probably made over $1 million from selling his sculptures.
Yeah.
Right? You'd say.
Good for it.
Yeah.
Lifetime for sure. Lifetime, yeah.
He's 76.
He's 76. I'm sure he's been sculpting for a bit.
Yeah. You don't just like build.
Unless he married Meryl and he quit his other job and he was like, I'm going to be a sculptor because like I can.
Let me find that out. Donald Gummer, Meryl Streep. When did they? I mean, cool. Look, they seem lovely. It reminds me of It's Complicated. Maybe that was the inspo for her. She was like, oh, we can kind of just. Oh, they got married in just 6 months. Oh, I remember what happened. Meryl Streep had a boyfriend, very serious boyfriend, who died really like young. Like very quickly progressive cancer, and she like cared for him. Then he died. And I think after that, she met Donald Gummer and they got married pretty quickly. And then they've been together for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like he's been a sculptor since he's been working. Like he went to the School of the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, and then he has a BFA from Yale. So
does she.
Good for Don.
So does she in acting.
Oh, maybe that's where they met.
I'm waiting for Meryl's memoir. Meryl, please come join us.
Can't beat Meryl.
Can't beat Meryl.
You're an open invitation to join literally the Ad Badges podcast.
No one beats Meryl for me. Like, Taylor Swift and Meryl, like, these are my people.
If you had to you only get one dinner invitation, who are you bringing?
Taylor Swift, because we're similar, because we're the same age. So I think it would just be easier.
Fair.
There's just a little bit more, like, we know the same references. Like,
Born the same year.
Born the same year. It's just very like, you know, it's very, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. Well, who are we sending to the Cayman Islands this week? I mean, it's hard to beat. I know we sent Justin last week, but we did find out this week that he was strumming on his guitar while his girlfriend was having the abortion that he made her have. But we did already send him, which is kind of where.
I mean, I'm not like opposed to sending the same person more than once, but I mean, the other alternative is sending Mauricio, but like, I don't really feel that Mauricio in this situation did anything wrong. So exactly. Like he didn't, I think we got to send Justin. Like it's pretty bad.
Sorry. It's a doozy.
It's bad. He's got to
get your shit together. Issue a statement and maybe you'll be spared next week.
I do not advise Justin Timberlake to issue a statement. I think if Justin Timberlake were to issue a statement, I would bet so much money that it will be bad.
What do you think he should do?
Shut the fuck
nothing.
Up.
Nothing.
Say nothing. Okay. Shut up.
Work on your NSYNC Christmas album.
Go away. Go away. Just go away. That's it. Don't apologize. Apologize to her. You don't have to apologize.
Bye.
Yeah. Bye. Right. I think he should, if he's going to issue an apology, it should be to her directly.
I would like to see and frame that one. I'd love to see it.
Frame and hand deliver it. Maybe we can direct you there before we divert you to the Cayman Islands. Well, that is it for this week's At Betches podcast. Holly, Kate, Kennedy, and I will be back tomorrow for Speak Now At Betches version, where we will be reviewing 1989 Taylor's version and maybe any new songs that are out. We're very excited. And follow me at Sammy.
You can follow me at Jordana Abraham. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. Oh, and also, if you're interested at all in fertility, Baby Steps comes out tomorrow. It'll be out tomorrow morning on Oversharing Feed. Check it out. We have some amazing interviews. Our first interview, if you're a fan of Real Housewives, there's an episode with me and Naomi, and then there's an episode with Jessel Tank, and she takes us through her whole IVF.
You interviewed Jessel?
Jessel, yeah. She's our first guest.
What was she like on the interview?
She was so sweet. She was very nice.
Oh my God. How could you not mention that you interviewed Jessel? She's like a hero.
I thought I told you.
You did.
No, she's our first interview. She tells us shakes us through her five rounds of IVF to get what are now her twins. And there's a lot more to the story. You guys can listen to it tomorrow. If you have any interest in fertility or if you know someone who's going through infertility, please share it with them. It's a really great series. I know you guys are going to love it. So check it out. It comes out tomorrow on the Oversharing Feed, Baby Steps.
Very excited. And check out Pop Crime if you want to hear more about Britney's memoir. And listen to us next time or tomorrow on the At Betches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby and Holly Wilkinson. Editing by Jazz Zapatos and Shannon Sassone. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com.
Betches.